Dear congregation, as we have been considering over the past few months the order of salvation, we have seen that some things must come before others in certain instances. Regeneration, for example, must precede repentance. Justification comes before sanctification. And in some cases, it's difficult to determine a precise order. When you think of faith and repentance as two sides of one coin, then they occur at the same time. But this afternoon, we consider the doctrine of adoption, and we try to put that in a neat and orderly list somewhere. It's difficult where exactly to put adoption. It's probably better for us that if we consider adoption as an overarching aspect of salvation. For if God has not adopted us, there is no salvation. So let's see it as something that all the other aspects of salvation flow out of God's election and adoption, rooted in the eternal covenant love of God. When we think about adoption, then a legal transaction happens in natural life. Applications are made, forms are made out, and somebody somewhere approves, and it is a legal transaction in family law. And adopted children in this world have all the rights of natural children. Everything they receive is through their adopting parents as a direct result of having been adopted. All the benefits of family life, the blessings of discipline, the love of their parents who love them like their own flesh and blood. An adoptive parent says to an adopted son, "You are my child." And that adopted son says back to that parent, "You are my dad. You are my mom." My sister and her husband have three children of their own and four adopted children. And it's beautiful to see how that works in that family. They are all brothers and sisters. They all consider, "This is my mom and dad." They are all treated equally. They all share in the love of their parents. Those parents love them all the same. Adoption, something beautiful. And yet, in our Christian life, in our Christian way of thinking, that very fact of adoption is often overlooked. I have never heard a sermon on adoption. And I think many of you have not either. And that is very sad. And in fact, in most catechisms and confessions and sermons, it's rarely mentioned. So this afternoon, we're going to pause for a while by this awesome display of God's amazing grace in adoption. Our text is Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 5 and other texts. Now let me read just at this point, Ephesians 1 verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." This text and others will be where we focus this afternoon on the theme of adoption. And first, children, we're going to try to answer the question, what is adoption? And secondly, who adopts whom? And then thirdly, what are the results, or we could say, what are the benefits of that adoption? Adoption, what is it? Who adopts whom? And what are the results? Adoption in this world means that children who belong to a certain father and mother are legally brought into another family. And the reasons for that vary, but there's always some trouble somewhere when a child is adopted. Most likely trouble in the child's family. Maybe the child is an orphan. Maybe it's a single mother who cannot look after a child. Whatever the reason is, there's always some trouble. Sometimes there's trouble in the adoptive family. Parents who desire to have children and are disappointed. For some reason, the womb is closed. Usually it's because of trouble when there is an adoption. If you have two healthy families, you don't have one family adopting a child from that other healthy family. That doesn't happen. But when this happens and legal steps are taken, authorities must be convinced that the adoptive family is able to provide for this child a caring and a loving and a nurturing home. And everything has to fit just perfectly. But once that paper is signed, those parents have the legal right to say of this child, "This is my child." So when they go for a passport, that parent signs for that child because that's his child. Through adoption. A child receives a new family. The family receives a new child. A boy, for example, who is the natural son of a certain father and mother, is now the son of a new father and mother. A member of a new family. But we're not discussing adoptions in Canada this afternoon. We want to see adoption in Scripture. When Scripture uses that term adoption, for example, in Ephesians 1 verse 5, adoption of children, or Galatians 4 verse 5, the adoption of sons, what does this mean? It uses a Greek word that means the placement of a son. The placement of a son. Think about this. In Scripture, God the Father has only one begotten Son. "This is my only begotten Son in whom I am well pleased," it says. And yet Scripture speaks of the sons of God, plural. John 1 verse 12, for example. How can there be only one Son and at the same time many sons? Scripture cannot contradict itself. That's impossible. So God the Son, God the Father has one natural Son. That is God the Son, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has many adopted children. In fact, He has so many adopted children that Scripture says their number is uncountable. They cannot be counted. In human families, there's always a limit to how many children can be adopted. But the only limit to the number of adopted children in God's family is His sovereign good pleasure. But we know one thing for sure. Everyone whom He has chosen, He adopts. And He's never disappointed. In human life, there are many disappointments when it comes to adoptions. The application is turned down or whatever. Sometimes it's delayed and it's always many, many disappointments, many hoops to go through, but never with God. When God sets out to adopt a child, it works. It is successful every time. Because it's His work. And He doesn't have to go to an adoption agency to get approval. He already has the approval from Himself. What is that adoption whereby God the Father has so many children? God takes all those adopted children of His out of their natural family. And our natural family, the family we are born into by nature, is not God's family. By nature, it says we are children of wrath, even as others. Jesus said to the people at his time, if you are not of your Father in heaven, you are of your father the devil. That's our natural family. And then he makes a legal transaction and brings them into his own family. And then he says, now you are my children and I am your father. So adoption in the biblical sense is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have the right to all the privileges of the sons of God. It's the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The redeemed become sons and daughters of God Almighty and are introduced into and given all the privileges of God's family. Now, the marvel of that amazing grace becomes clearer when we consider in our second thought, who adopts whom? Ephesians chapter 1. You should have your Bibles open. Ephesians 1. And we're going to read verses 3 to 6. Turn there, please. To answer this question, who adopts whom? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You want to know who adopts? It is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that same God who is the heavenly Father of Christ Jesus. That God the Father, it says here, has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That God the Father has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's who adopts. God the Father adopts us to himself, to the praise of his glory. God the Father has made us accepted. Otherwise, he could not adopt us, because we are unacceptable as we are. So it is God the Father who chose, God the Father who predestinated, God the Father who adopted, God the Father who made us accepted. Very specifically, the first person in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, adopts children. God the Creator, God the Upholder of the entire universe, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, God the Father, who created the human race after his own image, God the Father, who says to that human race, be ye holy, as I am holy. God the Father, who is all perfection, all holiness, all righteousness, all purity, all majesty, all glory. God the Father, of whom Scripture says in Habakkuk 1 verse 13, he is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look at iniquity. This God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ adopts human sinners. Reading again, Ephesians 1 verse 3, placing emphasis on who it is he adopts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That little word, us and we. Who is that? Who is adopted? Every single one of the people who was included in that little word, us, is a member of the human race. A member of the human race, of which Scripture says, now there is none that doeth good. A member of that human race, of which Scripture says, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are by nature the children of wrath. A member of that human race, of which Scripture says in Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Such people, this God Almighty, this God the Father, adopts and makes His children. How can God adopt such total sinners and make them His children? How can such people become the children of God? How can He say to them, you are my children? And how can we say to Him, you are our Father? How can this be? People who by nature are haters of God and haters of their neighbor? You still have your Bible open? Ephesians 1. Look again at verse 3. God the Father has blessed us in Christ. Look at verse 4. God the Father has chosen us in Him. That is, in Christ. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. God the Father has made us accepted in the Beloved. That is, in Christ Jesus. And so the Catechism is right. When we confess we are children adopted of God by grace for Christ's sake. Paul puts it this way, Galatians 4 verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption in Scripture is an act of God, whereby He redeems sinners and buys them back from being under the law so that they might receive adoption of sons. Sinners become sons and daughters of God only by adoption. But who are these sinners? Who are these people who were referred to in Ephesians 1 as us? Is that the entire human race? No, it is not. You know who they are? The Lord Jesus in John 1 is described by John. And this is what John says. But as many as received Him, that is Jesus, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. So that the number of the adopted children of God is limited to those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives power or authority or the right to become the sons and daughters of God. Each one who receives the Lord Jesus Christ, but also only those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. receive this right to become the sons and daughters of God. How do sinners then, sinners under the law, receive the Lord Jesus Christ? John 1 verse 12, the latter part, the beginning part of the verse says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing on his name, that's the same thing as believing in him. So by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive this Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the right to become the sons of God. By grace are you saved, remember? Through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And this gift of God is a gift of his grace and of his love. Remember last Lord's Day? What the Lord said to his people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That is an adopting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. When we believe the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself gives us the right to become the sons of God. And then John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God's love is at the bottom, at the heart of adoption. Have you considered? Have you considered the amazing love of God in making us his children? Dear believers, have you? Have you ever thought of that? There was a philosopher named Plato, and he thanked God for making him a man and a philosopher. How much more ought every child of God to give thanks to God for making me his child, for adopting such a one as I am? Think about these awesome truths. Think about this, that God would adopt us when he already had a son of his own. And then consider that that son is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called God's dear son in Colossians 1:13. And though God had this perfect son who loved him and served him perfectly, he still in love adopted us. A wonder of God's amazing, awesome love. We need him. We need this Father. He didn't need any more sons and daughters. But he adopted children of the human race, one by one. God has children. This be a warning too for us. We don't read anywhere in Scripture that God has grandchildren. It's not inherited from your mom and dad and from Opa. No grandchildren in God's family. Only children. Yes, God works through generations, covenantally, and yet very personally. Adoption to sons. Consider what we are, what we were before God adopted us. Had he left us and not adopted us, what would we be? Totally deformed and crooked, children of wrath, members of the family of hell, haters of God and of his grace, despisers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, he adopts us. He loves us first, and we love him back. Consider the expense to God of adopting sinners. You know, in human adoptions, it can cost tens and tens of thousands of dollars just to get a rubber stamp of approval on an application for adoption. Think of the expense to God to adopt sinners like you and sinners like me. There was no easy way to make heirs of wrath the heirs of His promise. Oh, our adoption comes at an awesome, great expense to our Heavenly Father. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could seal that deed of adoption. That's what it took. The blood of His Son. Consider also this fact. God adopts enemies. In the human world, a human father is not likely to adopt a child who he knows hates him. Not likely to adopt an enemy. But God adopts us not only as strangers, but as enemies. For God to pardon His enemies, that is amazing grace. But to adopt them as heirs with His Son, co-heirs with Christ Jesus, that is a wonder of God's eternal love. Consider that God adopts us while we are members of that other family, not of His. And it says in Hebrews 2 verse 10, Christ is bringing many sons unto glory. God is adopting millions all around the world. If we would read in Scripture that there was only one who was going to be adopted, oh, then we would despair. But now it says He brings many sons to glory. And that opens a door of hope for us too. Consider the great honor that God bestows on His children in adoption. What an honor to live in this world and to be the sons and daughters of God Most High. Children of God the Father. Members of God the Son. Temples of the Holy Spirit. Dear believer, that's who you are. That's how we are to live in this world too. We consider who adopts whom. And must we not stand in awe and amazement this afternoon? Is it not a proclamation of the wonder of God's everlasting love to sinners, such as we are? As many as believe on His name, to them He gives the right to become the sons of God. Does that include you? Are you numbered among them? Are you a son or a daughter of God? You may know. As many as believe, as many as trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are given the right to become the sons of God. How sad then. Oh, how sad that today, even in this congregation, there are people who are not sons and daughters of God. People of no faith. There's no faith. There's no sonship. Then you do not know God in His love. Then you are still dead in trespasses and sins. God has no dead children. But all of those who do not believe the gospel, who do not repent of their sins, are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Oh, dear friends, there are still among us those who don't believe. And all this talk of adoption and the love of God's Father, it leaves you rather cold. And I join the Apostle Paul this afternoon and I say, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God beseeched you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. The door of grace is still open today. Christ Jesus still offers himself to sinners. Come to me, he says. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then this salvation shall be yours too. Then you may know that you are among that number who are adopted. But if you choose to go your own way, if you choose to refuse this gospel once again today, then keep in mind, if you live and die as a child of the devil, then that will be your eternal portion too, with the devil, apart from God, forever, in the lake of fire and brimstone. It doesn't have to be that way. All those who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him and are given the right to become the sons of God. That right is given from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive a spirit of sonship, a sense of freedom. I read in Romans 8 verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, when Jesus Christ sets you free, and the truth shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. No longer in bondage. No longer living in fear of condemnation. No longer dreading and trembling because you are not good enough. That's the spirit of fear again to bondage. We are not given that spirit when we are saved. When we are saved by grace, we receive another spirit. Amazing grace, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's one of the results of adoption. We receive the Holy Spirit, but you have received the Spirit with a capital S, the Spirit of adoption. And this is true for every believer. You have received him. You already have received him. And that Spirit is at work in your hearts, teaching you, for example, how to address this God. How must I now, as an adopted child of God, address him? The spirit of adoption, says Paul, whereby or by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That little word, Abba, that's an Aramaic word. The Lord Jesus used it when he addressed his Father in the garden. Mark 14, verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Abba was a word used then and still today by little children when they addressed their fathers. Today when a little child addresses his father, wants to talk with his father, he says, Daddy. That's the word, Abba. And don't think that that is bringing God down. No, that is glorifying the Lord, because that's the name his dear son called him, Abba, Father. The result of adoption is a relationship with God the Father that is so intimate that it is like a little child coming to his daddy. When you meditate in this fact, that God Almighty is my Father, and you begin to call him Father, Abba, Father, And then it is by the Holy Spirit of adoption that you do that. That's what it says. The Spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Do you have those times? No, I don't mean when you're thoughtlessly saying that, but when you consider this God, this God is my Father. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8 verse 16, that we are the children of God. We give that testimony in verse 15 when we call Him Abba, Father. And here it says the Holy Spirit gives that testimony with our spirit, and He testifies that we are the children of God. It's another way of saying we are adopted. Adopted by God the Father Himself. Yes, the Spirit testifies directly with the Spirit of God's children that they are the children of God. No, I don't want to glorify mysticism. I don't want to exalt what the Pentecostal churches do with this. But we can have a genuine experience of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Some of us experienced it last Lord's Day morning. Celebration of the Lord's Supper. We looked beyond the bread and the wine, and our eye was on Christ Jesus the Lord. And we remembered Him. And we said, oh, surely it's true. The Lord has loved me with an everlasting love. He has drawn me with His loving kindness to Him. And this is real. This is real. Thank God for such experiences. Don't elevate them above Scripture. Don't elevate them above the promises of the Word of God. Don't elevate them above Christ Jesus Himself. They flow from Him. But do give thanks to God when the Holy Spirit testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. Galatians 4 verse 6, because you are sons or children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's the same material, except there's one little change. Here, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God's Son. Because you are sons, because He adopted you, He sends His Spirit into your hearts. The Spirit of Christ is called in Romans 8 verse 9. And that's why we begin to call Him Abba, Father, just like our older brother did. Remember, when God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your older brother. And He sends His Spirit into the hearts of believers. And they begin to say, Abba, Father, just like Jesus did. The result of adoption, we may call Him our Father, who art in heaven. So Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Now you know how that can be. And not only that, the result of adoption is that we may live in the present reality of that adoption. Adoption is not something that's promised for the future. Not some experience that is to be had sometime. When we are adopted by God the Father, through the Son, and indwelt by His Holy Spirit, that is a present reality. That is true today. That is true right now for every believer. John writes in 1 John 3. In verse 1 he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. In verse 2 he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Now. Right now. We are the sons of God. At this very moment. Dear believer, your standing before God is standing of a child, beloved of the Father. Right now you are children of God, the result of adoption, and that can never be changed. God will never disown any of His children. From the very moment you repented and believed the gospel, from that very moment, you are a child of God. That's reality. Right now, says John, we are the children of God. And there is a future. There is a future for the children of God. John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Seems to be some uncertainty about what we shall be coming when the Lord returns. But one thing we do know, says John, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Most people take this to mean when Christ shall appear in His second coming. There's no reference in this verse to Christ. It's when God shall appear. We shall be like God. How are we to understand this? I read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Christ, who is the image of God. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, He is the express image of God. In Romans 8, verse 29, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So the adopted children of God are being transformed, are being conformed to the image of Christ, who is the image of God. That means that believers here on this earth are becoming more and more Christ-like, which means becoming more and more God-like. And that's the process that's going on right now in every single child of God. We are being transformed into His likeness. Because John says when He appears, we shall see Him as He is. What a thought. That every child of God, everyone adopted by God the Father, begins to look like Jesus Christ, begins to talk like Jesus Christ, begins to walk like Jesus Christ, begins to treat people like Jesus Christ does. That's what it means to be conformed to His image. That is the riches of adoption by God the Father. We become like Him. We become like His Son. Oh, dear believers, let it be seen. Let it be heard. Let it be observed. That we are the children of God. That we are different. No, we're no better than anyone else. But we sure are different. We march to a different drummer. And it is God Almighty. And that affects how we live in this world. That affects how we act and how we react and how we interact with people. Let us always then be mindful of that fact. Right now, dear believer, you are a child of God. Live like one. Speak like one. Behave like a child of God. And a child of God is one who lives out of this marvelous reality that God the Father, in love, has adopted me through Christ, His Son. Every believer is an adopted child of God. And there is nothing that can separate us.
from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.